Welcome to Busy Research, the podcast where business meets data and insights drive success. I'm your host, Vicki McCarthy, Director of the Center for Applied Business Research at Austin Peay State University. On this podcast, we get busy learning about how applied business research can improve business decision making. Welcome to another episode of Busy Research. Today, we discuss how consumers use social and digital media for preventative healthcare information. Joining us is Dr. Terry Dameron, Associate Professor of Marketing at Austin Peay State University in Clarksville, Tennessee. She's also a CABR Faculty Fellow and teaches consumer behavior and social media marketing. Dr. Dameron has published research studies, which we'll discuss today, that shed light on consumers' use of social media for preventative healthcare information. Welcome, Terry.
Thank you for having me, Vicki.
Okay, so first, can you explain how social and digital media have transformed how consumers access and share preventative healthcare information?
Sure. So when we think about preventive healthcare information, it's important to understand those topics will range from things like weight loss to smoking cessation to meditation. Prior to social and digital media, we saw consumers relied heavily on healthcare providers for health information, including preventive healthcare information. So sure, they would turn to people in their social networks for information, but caregivers, and specifically conversations inside traditional appointments, were the primary pathway for gathering information. So then we fast forward to today, and even before COVID, we saw increasing consumer interest in gathering and sharing preventive healthcare information online. From institutional websites like mayoclinic.org to Facebook groups for specific health conditions, today's digital consumer is generally comfortable, although not necessarily good at, and we'll talk about that more in a minute. They're generally comfortable seeking, interpreting, and sharing information on any number of health topics. In 2022, our survey showed about 70% of respondents frequently seek out preventive healthcare information on topics like diet, exercise, stress reduction, nutrition, and sleep hygiene.
Well, what are the primary motivations for consumers to seek out this information on social media?
Data from our 2022 survey tells us American consumers consider it important to have access to preventive healthcare information about health issues affecting them currently and issues that may impact them in the future. Now, this is encouraging because information about a current health issue, sure, that may help limit the negative impact of the problem. But information about a potential future issue, that's where we see the opportunity to maybe eliminate the problem altogether. But when we think about how consumers are getting this information online, it's important to note that sometimes they're actively seeking it out, and sometimes they're just encountering it. Often when they're seeking it out, it's because they or a loved one got a diagnosis or maybe some concerning health news. In those cases, we see, for example, online health communities can offer not just useful insights and advice, but also a level of understanding and empathy that addresses some emotional needs on the part of the patient. And then, of course, health organization pages can aid in understanding that diagnosis and care options. On the flip side, consumers can just encounter information, such as when a friend shares their health story on social media, or sometimes it's through paid promotions from health organizations.
Can you talk a little bit about how different demographics, age, gender, socioeconomic status vary in how they use social media for preventative healthcare information?
Sure. So when we look across our surveys from 2016, 2019, and 2022, we see a few consistent trends. For example, women are more likely than men to seek out preventive healthcare information, and that, of course, carries over to their use of social media for collecting that information. We also see younger consumers, and I want to note here that younger consumers, by virtue of life stage, are going to show up demographically as lower income, unmarried slash single, lacking health insurance, and with lesser levels of education. These younger consumers are more likely to turn to online for preventive healthcare information. Right now in the U.S., about 30% of young adults ages 19 to 25 are uninsured, and that's a larger proportion than any other age group. So they lack access to healthcare providers, but they have access to smartphones and they use the resources available to them.
So what type of information are they seeking out as it's related to healthcare?
Well, our most recent survey tells us that consumers consider social media and networks very important for educating themselves, again, about the health issues currently on their minds and those issues that may impact them in the future. They want to immediately access preventive healthcare information in general. And that's pretty common at this point in time, this expectation of immediate access to information. They want to understand the reasons for specific screenings and tests. They want to gather information about COVID-19 and related illnesses. I do think that responses to that item will change as we move further away from peak pandemic time. They're wanting information about nutrition, and they want to connect with support groups of people with health conditions similar to their own.
So we've talked a little bit about who's seeking out the information, how the individuals differ, and then also what type of information they're seeking. But can you talk about how the information shared and what type of information are the consumers most likely to share on social media?
Sure. So we look into that specifically through our survey. And what we see is consumers are most likely to share information about nutrition, stress reduction, sleep hygiene, and the preventive healthcare options they're using to stay healthy. But what I find really interesting is the topics they're least likely to share on social media and networks. And those include diet and weight loss, complementary alternative medicine like yoga, meditation, and gratitude practices. And then they're least likely of all to share sexual and reproductive health information. And so as healthcare marketers, then it's important to think about what considerations do we have as far as consumer hesitancy to discuss certain topics that would mitigate the sharing effect that we desire to see through social media. Again, the goal in social media, of course, we want to educate, but it's through the sharing of information that we leverage the power of social media and networks.
That's very interesting that you talk about the least likely information that would be shared. Does it have anything to do with credibility, or how do consumers determine the credibility of the healthcare information that they decide to share on social media?
So when we looked at our consumer responses in 2019, we saw overall respondents trusted medical professionals more than they trusted peers when they were looking for preventive healthcare information about a medical issue. But when we dug deeper, we saw millennials, and those are consumers born between 1981 and 1996, did trust their peers slightly more than they trusted medical professionals when seeking preventive healthcare information about a medical issue. Overall, the relationship we saw was the older the consumer, the more trust in medical professionals compared to trust in peers. And there's a few reasons this may be the case. First, when we think about digital natives like millennials, they may simply prioritize ease of access to information ahead of credibility of the information. Second, there's some research suggesting younger consumers are very good at using the internet, but they struggle to find, assess, and make use of online health information. And then third, we see some evidence both in other studies and more recently in our 2022 data set that younger consumers prioritize perceived similarity above perceived expertise when evaluating the credibility of a source. So this means that they are more concerned with how much the speaker or the source is like them than they are with the experiential or educational expertise of that speaker or source.
And that's very interesting. I'd also like to know which social media and networks that consumers use when they gather this preventative healthcare information.
So when we look at the mainstream social media and networks, YouTube is the platform consumers consider most important for gathering preventive healthcare information. I'll make a side note here that YouTube is the most used social media and network platform in the United States. Some research suggests users prefer YouTube videos to written health information materials. And so as a healthcare marketer, maybe what you start to think is, when I give a patient a handout on some physical therapy exercises that they need to do, maybe instead of just written instructions, there's a QR code that takes them to YouTube where they can see someone doing that exercise. Because when we look at media richness theory, we can start to understand from an academic perspective why consumers prefer video. And it's simply because it's the richest communication experience. It's the closest thing to being in person. And video can relay complex information far more easily than written word. So for example, I once needed a very simple dermatological surgery. And in the few minutes it took my physician to send the referral, I had watched an entire YouTube video of the procedure. And by the time he came back in and said, "Do you have any questions?" I said, "No, I've already watched the whole video. I know exactly what's going to happen." And so we have this opportunity to create or to minimize uncertainty for our patients. And then in terms of preventive videos, think about things like demonstrations of how to do a correct breast self-exam, educational videos on the signs of stroke. Really, the opportunities are endless when we think about providing videos to help consumers understand how to prevent certain issues we see.
And you've told us a lot of benefits of using social media networks. But what are some of the challenges or risks associated with using social media for preventative healthcare information?
Well, obviously, misinformation abounds on social media. We're talking about a period of time where anybody with a smartphone can upload content, and there's no checks and balances on their credibility. And so then it's for us to understand that the greatest challenge will stem from the gap between user skill and finding information. So knowing how to use the correct keywords, knowing which platforms will have the content, but then assessing the credibility of the information source. Again, noting that our younger consumers, at least in our research we're seeing, are more concerned with whether the source is similar to them than they are with expertise. And so in practical terms, this means a healthcare organization should think about whether its spokesperson or spokespeople are similar to the audience they're trying to reach. And then I think on the academic end, it just reinforces the importance of teaching media literacy from a very young age so consumers understand, how do I determine the credibility of this information that I'm viewing at this time?
Right. So based on your research, what best practices would you recommend to healthcare organizations that want to communicate preventative healthcare information on social media?
So I'll recap some underlying ideas, which I've already discussed, but we know younger consumers are most likely to use social media and networks for gathering and sharing preventive healthcare information. We know that younger consumers do or will have some say in the care of their older loved ones. And I make that point because when we look through our research and we look through other studies, we see that older consumers are less likely to use social media to gather information. But when we consider who cares for aging consumers, it will be younger consumers, whether they are practitioners or they are family members. And so that's where we can reach those younger consumers. But also, as I noted earlier, younger consumers have difficulty in finding, assessing, and making use of health information. And so if I were in a healthcare marketing role, I would really be focused on accessibility. So how can we make it easy for the young consumer to find or stumble upon this content? Digestibility, how do we make this information easy to understand and act upon? And then source similarity. Again, who should deliver this message to maximize influence if we know that the target audience is going to be very concerned with whether the source is similar to them?
And looking forward, how do you envision the role of social and digital media evolving in the context of public health education and preventative care over the next decade?
You know, that's a hard question. Economic and political conditions will impact consumer access to healthcare. Of course, our research is showing us that consumers of lower socioeconomic status tend to lack access to health insurance and accordingly turn to the internet for health information. With regard to preventing the spread of communicable disease and minimizing the impact of preventable illness, social media has the capacity to significantly expand reach and access, and that would benefit consumers and organizations because there is a cost of illness. It's a socioeconomic cost. It's the quality of life of the consumer. It's lost work capacity. It's lost income. It's certainly the debt that that consumer takes on. And then for health insurance organizations, for example, when we see the opportunity to prevent illnesses that then account for large payouts on the part of the insurance company, and certainly thinking about overburdening the healthcare system, if we can prevent illness, then certainly we lessen the burden on the healthcare system in general. And so I think the degree of importance for social media is going to depend on the state of affairs in the United States and the number of consumers who do or do not have access to regular healthcare.
And such an important topic, healthcare and preventative healthcare. And this has been such an informative discussion. I have learned a lot, as I'm sure our listeners have. I appreciate you coming and sharing your research and your invaluable insights. If our listeners want to learn more about you and your research, where can they connect?
Oh, I'm happy to receive messages on LinkedIn. You'll find me at @TerryDamron. And certainly they're welcome to email me at damronT@APSU.edu.
Thank you for tuning into Busy Research Podcast. Dr. Damron's information, LinkedIn information, and email will be included in the show notes if you're interested in connecting with her on her research. You can also find more information about Dr. Damron at our CABR website, which will also be in the show notes. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in to another episode of Busy Research. You enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe. We'll catch you in the next episode of Busy Research. Until then, stay curious and busy.